Back together again, eh?
Let's play.
I'm going in. Cover me, Porkins.
I'm right with you, Red 3.
But I don't want to be a pirate.
Looks like Daddy's bringing home the barbecue.
These donuts are great.
I'd buy that for $1.
Oh! Dodson. Dodson. We've got Dodson here.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
All we had to do was follow the damn train, CJ.
It was me all along, Austin.
No! No!
You are listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a weekly pop cultural nostalgia podcast. I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez. And who might you be?
I'm Alex Mitchell.
We got a new one for you today. Like always. You know, they're never old. That would be weird.
That would be weird. I wouldn't understand how we get. I mean, unless we did like a recap podcast,
I mean,
which would be really weird.
We could eventually do a revisited on some of these.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But today, we're going to be doing, this is a first, I'd say, a character spotlight.
Yeah. I mean, wrestlers are kind of their own.
Yeah, but that's dealing with like real people. We're going to touch on the actor who plays this a little bit.
Yeah.
This is a character spotlight of, eventually we will be doing more Star Trek characters. So this is a Star Trek character.
In my opinion, he's one of the best ones.
Yes, me as well, and I think that's why I chose this character in particular, because it's just, he's always been a favorite. So today's episode is about the character from Star Trek named Data.
Intrigues me, this Picard.
In what manner, sir?
Remarkably analytical and dispassionate for a human. I understand why my father chose to mind meld with him. There's an almost Vulcan quality to the man.
Interesting. I had not considered that. And Captain Picard has been a role model in my quest to be more human.
More human?
Yes, Ambassador.
Fascinating. You have an efficient intellect, superior physical skills, no emotional impediments. There are Vulcans who aspire all their lives to achieve what you've been given by design.
You are half human.
Yes.
Yet you have chosen a Vulcan way of life.
I have.
In effect, you have abandoned what I have sought all my life. Ambassador Spock, may I ask a personal question?
Please.
As you examine your life, do you find you have missed your humanity?
I have no regrets.
No regrets? That is a human expression.
Yes. Fascinating.
This planet was destroyed by this crystalline entity, which is this weird giant flying crystal thing.
Snowflake looking.
It soars through space and destroys everything around it. So Starfleet discovered this robot, and he essentially is AI almost perfected.
Yeah,
you know. So it's like he says that he can't get, and I love that I had to look this up. He can't get drunk, but his system can get affected by certain.
There are a lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah, with AI. And there will be inconsistencies. One is that he's very strong. And that's more or less pretty consistent.
And in the second season, they really love showing that. The first two seasons.
So, essentially, Worf...
Let's before we get into it, let's establish, in the Star Trek universe, androids really aren't a thing.
No. They're not, in Star Wars, droids are everywhere.
Yeah.
So, in Star Trek, there were some robots.
In TOS,
there was a couple. And that bald chick from the
motion picture.
Yeah, she had one too.
But Data is different. Let's just have that Star Trek isn't big on robots and androids.
And I guess that's kind of cool, because Data was their way to kind of tackle any situation that deals with AI.
Yeah.
Data comes in. And I always thought that Data was, cool as a kid. You have these robotic characters that you can relate to a lot easier. They're discovering humanity.
Well, it's the inquisitive nature.
Yeah. And Data is just a nice guy. He wants to learn more about what being human's like. It might be kind of old hat at this point because every like sci-fi franchise has kind of done something like this at this point.
Yeah, the search for humanity sort of thing.
Yeah, Data's like the character that you would want to hang out with, I think, if you first like come to the ship.
So you want to hang out with Data for some reason.
I would hang out with Data and Riker.
Yeah, well, there's this long-running arc throughout the entire series that Data is trying to master the arts, but he's really, really good at everything he does.
But the thing is,
there's no soul behind it. There's no heart.
Yeah, and even though there might be, like, Data feels like it's still, like, a composite of, like, because I think he said, like, he studied, like, violin from, like four or five different masters.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's like, because it's not really him learning it, it's just him kind of like,
he's just playing it. It's like almost like a
that he feels that his art has no true value.
Well, and Picard even tells him, Picard's going to tell him that it's good, but it has no like,
yeah, like, and I don't think he meant, and Picard's awesome.
So yeah, there's this entire thing where throughout the entire series, he's trying to learn to paint, he's trying to learn how to play music,
yeah, and be friendly.
And by the way, when I say learn, I don't mean learn to play the music, learn to inject emotion into the music, because that's something he just can't do. And it is interesting to see throughout the entire series him do this.
Yeah.
He's the one who makes Spock's father cry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
That's an interesting thread also of, like, kind of like, because
Vulcans don't have emotion, but later in life they start to lose their grip and they...
Because essentially with Sarek, Spock's dad, he essentially has like some form of like Vulcan, like it's almost like Alzheimer's, where he's like essentially just losing like everything about him that makes
they a become Vulcan more human.
Vulcan. Yeah, and to a Vulcan that's like fucked up.
Yeah.
So,
but
Spock learned to embrace that, and that's why Spock is still awesome. Yeah. So anyway,
so with Data, there's the main theme that he has is the whole becoming more human thing. Or what does it mean to be human? So that's touched on early on in the second season.
But the first season does introduce us to... it does introduce us to his brother.
Oh, lore. Yeah.
No, I'm not getting into that stuff yet.
Yeah, there's a little... Okay, look. So the first season, Data is a thin character. And I mean that literally and figuratively, because...
Yeah, he's very skinny.
He is very skinny, and it's like, I didn't know androids could bloat, but they can.
Well, that's to make them look more human-like.
Yeah, I know. There's story lines. But okay, so the first season, he's thin characterization. He's pretty much just that.
He was literally, and what I didn't like about early season Data was that he was literally, I'm not human, and I don't understand
and
this.
It was like, oh, every episode, oh, he can do something crazy. Look, he's jumping over rocks, he's lifting things
up. But he's not human, and it's funny.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was kind of like that weird, shallow, like, it almost feels like Lost in Space kind of shit, where it's like, you obviously have this character that isn't really meant to be someone to attach yourself to, kind of. He's just, like, there.
He was, and I don't like saying this, but he was kind of a gimmick character when he started.
He was a gimmick.
It was just like, oh, here's the android.
And you know what, it's kind of like when you have a character in wrestling, and I know we always go back to wrestling, but again, a gimmick character like that, you like, oh, that's cool, it's fun, but you don't attach yourself to it too much. It's kind of like, it's just there for cheap laughs and cheap humor, or, oh, that's cool, but in the long run, you don't kind of gain an emotional attachment.
Yeah, and
that's what Data was to
me. So the first season, he was very much just... He wasn't even used as a plot device. He was usually just used as...
And that's the good thing. He wasn't like the... What would you call it? Like 11th hour miracle. Like, oh, Data's here to save us. Like, it wasn't that.
He just... It's like, it's an android and he just does stuff. Yeah. Moving on, though. So, for most of the first season, he doesn't really do much.
Yeah.
Like, he does a lot of reader feeder, basically. Like, viewer feeder, where it's just like, he'll ask you a question, but then it's weird. He asks a question, but then he sort of answers it himself.
Yeah, and then basically he it's weird how he was kind of like an audience surrogate at the same time. Yeah, even though he was smarter than like everyone on the show.
A lot of people called him a dictionary, basically.
Yeah, and him and Geordi kind of suffered from this early season.
But it seems like because of that, there was like a sort of emotion to write their characters becoming like really good
friends.
And that's good. Because they did, and that's the problem I have with the movies. the movies make it out to be
that. Okay, it was the whole Kirk and Spock thing.
Yeah, they make Data and Picard best friends.
When, in reality, when you watch that show...
It was Geordi and
Data. And then Riker a bit.
And but you want to know what solidifies that? The fact that Data is Sherlock Holmes...
And, yeah, and Watson is Geordi.
Yeah, it's like, that's their dynamic. And we'll touch briefly upon the whole Sherlock Holmes stuff, which is amazing.
Which, I love all the holodeck stuff. Yeah. A lot of people hate holodeck episodes. I love them.
I don't understand how. They're fun.
Yeah, and Deep Space Nine's holodeck episodes are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the only holodeck episode I hate is with Alexander, where he's in the mud pool and stuff.
But that was more of like a Troy's mom episode.
You know what? It's a Troy's mom and an Alexander episode, so that's like...
It's like two things I don't really care for. Troy's mom has a really sad episode, though. But,
oh, yes. But, she gets really good, though, in Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome in that. Earn Odo. Anyways.
Always trying to have sex with Odo. Picard. Well, no. And Odo. But yeah, Odo also. Okay.
Mr. Wolf. I love that. But season one, after like a ton of episodes of not really establishing much, introduces Data's brother, Lore. Which I don't really have any issues with this episode because Lore is like everything Data isn't. He's like charismatic. He has emotion, but the thing is, it's like almost like a crutch. He was like essentially lost for all those years. And I guess it kind of fucked up his head.
Well, it's like, it's like he got emotion, but it's like he also has extreme jealousy. And later when Data, Soong, and Lore are together, they address this, that he did have emotion, but it was just too powerful of emotion. Like, it was too extreme.
He didn't have any sense of right and wrong. He's almost like a sociopath, I think.
Yes.
Because everything he does, it's only for him. And he'll always lie to Data and say, "I'm only looking out for you, man." And it's like,
brother?
Yeah. And I love that you have already this kind of like, and again, seeing Brent Spiner, who plays Data, just play all these different roles while just kind of slightly tweaking them a bit is awesome.
A lot of people know this about Brent Spiner, but he's a stage actor. And he's actually,
and it kind of shows.
He's actually a really good fucking actor.
Yeah.
But everyone knows him as either Data or the guy from Independence Day.
Yeah, the guy that gets choked out.
Or from Master of Disguise.
Yeah.
But no, he is a very good actor, and
he plays Puck in Gargoyles.
And that's the thing. His versatility in that episode with all three of them when they come together.
It's great because you have the emotionless, but speaks logically and from the heart. Yeah. Oddly enough, at that point, Data had already kind of developed like a proper sense of right and wrong, not just any Data. And I mean this like a Data episode is usually pretty good
because a fistful of Data.
That's an awesome episode. That's where Data is essentially like a gunfighter.
It's a Wild West episode,
and he plays all the characters in that too.
Even a bar saloon maid. It's
awesome.
It's a great note.
Again, Brent Spiner, I feel like they trusted him to do these roles after, I guess, just kind of being given nothing to do in the first season.
Yeah, I mean, well, and it's just the fact that it's like playing that character. Eventually, it's like he's even said that, he loved playing it, but he did like to stretch his arms a bit every now and then.
And when you have Soong and Lore and any other variant on that...
Sherlock Holmes one, it is different from normal Data, because
he's playing a character.
Which is amazing for what Spiner did, because he was playing Data playing Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
So it's like two levels of acting he was doing on... Like,
whereas with Geordi, he's like... aware that he's Geordi and not in, he's just playing he literally knows I'm just playing this thing for Data.
Constantly saying, "But Data," I swear that he'd constantly say, "But Data."
Yeah.
every other sentence. But and so it is fascinating to see the multifacetedness of Spiner and Data itself, because when you start the series, He's very robotic.
Yeah.
Like
almost uncharacteristically so for people that are familiar with the franchise. It's
the second season where he starts to sort of become what we know, and then third season that's
Data.
Okay, now second season has possibly one of the best Star Trek episodes ever. And it's, by the way, I should clarify, second season is horrible. It's not a good season.
It's okay. I'll say that. It's okay.
You know, it's okay because we're used to Star Trek.
The Measure of a Man.
Measure of a Man is, to me, one of the most
classic episode. No, and it's considered to be among the very best.
It also has a very, like... It reminds me of the best of what TOS was able to do. Like, it feels like a TOS episode, but in a very good way.
Yeah.
That's not to say TOS is bad or anything.
I have issues with it, chiefly just too many gimmicky episodes that aren't that entertaining in the long run. When TOS is good, it's really good, though.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So this episode deals with the fact about artificial intelligence
and
what it means to be a human being.
Yeah, and also this comes into the idea that is Data a member of Starfleet or is he property?
Yeah, so that's the main conflict is essentially they're trying to...
This guy really likes the idea of Data, but the thing is he wants to...
Run tests on him.
And dismantle him. And again, if everything goes the right way, nothing wrong should happen to Data, but Data feels like it's still an invasion of his rights.
Because he believes he is a person.
And also there's the concern that this guy might not be 100% qualified to dismantle Data and could essentially just destroy him if he doesn't
do that.
But that's not even the main issue. The idea behind that whole episode is that does Data deserve to even speak for himself and say, like, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want... And this episode's awesome because, like, every, like, character in, like, the main crew gets to kind of speak up for Data and how they feel about him. And this is actually when Pulaski's in the show.
Yeah, yes, it is.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah. But Picard's the hero of this episode.
Picard and Riker.
Riker also.
Even though Riker's representing, like...
I forgot about that. Because, Riker is essentially... I think because they need a non-bias.
He's supposed to be impartial.
Yeah.
And he is for the most part, but he does kind of throw some softballs towards Data's side.
Yeah,
but
because it's his friend.
And that's the thing. The episode deals with something very, very nuanced and very delicate. Like,
There's no action in that episode. It's
a lot of conversations. And
so, again, I think for people that are not expecting that out of a sci-fi show, it's a bit jarring.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to kind of just think, which I always said, Star Trek is kind of the thinking man's show.
So,
and I hate being this asshole about, Star Wars is for...
They're two separate things. Well,
yeah.
One is science fiction where it's more about the message, more about, it's the brain where Star Wars is the heart.
Yeah.
Measure of a Man is definitely a high point for the Data character, even though it's second season. And then as we go on, there's more and more, and there is more continuing to examine what humanity is.
Yeah. The cool thing about that episode was that it turns out, Data does have the right to be a member of Starfleet, not just property. Later on, there's an episode called Data's Day, which is just like about him.
Yeah.
It's literally narrated just by him.
Yeah.
And he what?
It's a bad episode.
It's an interesting episode. Yeah. And then it turns out the Romulans... That's the only thing I don't like about that episode is that, like, the Romulans are, like, invading that ship.
It's not as bad as the Dreaming episodes.
Oh, those are terrible.
Where Troy's a birthday cake.
That one's just kind of silly. But,
Yeah.
The guy that wanted to dismantle Data, like, Data doesn't have any ill will towards that guy. Because, it's just, he wanted to just dismantle Data for science. So the cool thing is, in that episode, like, he's actually, and that's what that whole episode was about, he's recording his day-to-day, like, activities for that guy.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool that they didn't need to go back to that. But
because it shows how pure Data is.
Yeah, that he's willing to just, again, not say, this guy wanted to dismantle me, fuck that guy. It was just like, oh no, he was trying to do something good. And he was. And that's the issue I have with... That's the only issue I have with The Measure of the Man is that it tried to paint this guy as more villainous than he really was. It's like, he just wants to learn shit, that's all.
I think that's more on the viewer's part.
Yeah.
That he's villainous.
But anyways.
But yeah, that is... a great episode, and it does highlight basically Data's path throughout the entire series.
Yeah,
he keeps coming in contact with Lore. Eventually, he has a daughter, Lol.
That's an amazing episode too.
It's
really sad.
There's a common theme with Data's episodes that they're very much about. Even though he's an android, his episodes more than any others touch upon what it like the heart of humanity.
Yeah.
And
which is weird because it's like you wouldn't think you would get that out of his episode.
His character, and I've always thought this, is the most emotional character out of any of the others in TNG.
Yeah.
Like
the scene in Generations when Data has a cat, by the way. That's awesome.
Spot.
He
named the cat Spot.
Again, it's this weird understanding that that's a good name for a pet, but not necessarily a good name for a cat.
Yeah.
So, I love that. But when Data finds Spot after the Enterprise is essentially just destroyed, and he starts crying and he doesn't know why, that always just makes me...
We also have to establish he had...
an emotion shift.
Yes.
And it had been basically causing him not to be, like, on lore levels of crazy, but, like... overly emotional, like, and not understanding how things work, Worf falling over the ship made and into the water in the holodeck made people laugh, but him pushing Crusher into the water was like, Data, why'd you do that?
That wasn't funny.
And that was like,
it's like, yes, it is.
But, it is fucking
but it's
funny.
The future. They don't, yeah, they don't find harm.
But yeah, and he's like cursing every now and then. Finds Spot though, after he thought that the whole. It, and he starts crying. It always makes me happy.
Yeah.
But,
And this is after the point that the show made about, no, he doesn't need the chip because, you know, it'd be better if he just became human on his own and slowly learned to live.
I don't know why they put that chip thing in that.
Because...
And also, it was for casual...
General audiences would be bored if Data was acting like Data.
Yeah.
And probably. Who knows? You know, they probably wouldn't have. The studio probably just thought... And then they made the chip from a tiny little thing to a giant... Because it got out to be huge.
People wouldn't understand. First Contact, I think, is like his best movie. But the thing is, these movies started becoming more about Picard and Data,
and also characters made no sense anymore. What was set up for the show made no sense anymore. At least, Data.
Data's the best. I think he's the one that retains most of his. Characterization from...
I'd say Riker does.
Oh, well.
Because...
He's just there.
He's being Riker.
He's just there. Riker's awesome, and he does deserve... Riker's beard is a thing.
Yes.
Riker's beard is a real thing that says that anytime a show gains quality in, like, just over time, that the show grew the beard. And that's in reference to Riker growing out his beard in the second season.
Yes.
Which is when the show got, like, a better jumping quality.
That's true.
Data's
journey comes to an end in Nemesis.
Where, essentially, they wanted to make Data Spock.
Yes. And by this time, Brent Spiner was showing wrinkles.
But
then, of course, you know, there's a throwaway line about something about mimicking human aging or something.
Yeah. Just because.
It doesn't explain why B4 looks like... But okay, so this is when they introduce another one of Data's brothers... That just happens to be there.
Because he's before Data.
After an off-road adventure, they find him.
That was...
Because Patrick Stewart just wanted to do that.
Did he actually... Is that his reason?
That's why. He wanted to film... He just wanted to ride an off-road vehicle.
It's a fun scene, but it has no purpose at all. I mean, it really doesn't.
And so B4 is... And so Data sacrificed himself to blow up Bane's ship.
God damn it. Yes.
Yeah.
And then in the comic...
Because at the end of the movie, he's uploaded into B4 his memories.
Yeah.
And then B4 eventually just becomes Data again.
Yeah. And in the comic, they even have a throwaway line that says, you know, B4 sacrificed his own personality to let mine come through. I'm like, there was no personality in B4.
Yeah. Although, the last thing Data does is he tries to whistle Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Yeah.
Which, in Counter Farpoint...
Yeah, that
he
was.
He kept trying to, but couldn't do it. So that was a nice callback to, you know, it's like a mirror thing. It's like poetry rhymes.
Jar Jar's the key to all this.
So that was Data's journey, but
and in the comics he's an admiral now, or a captain, I think.
And he put the white stripe.
He did. So we've been kind of dodging this.
So there was something else that weirdly ran through the show, and in the movies,
in First Contact, notably,
sexuality
of Data
was randomly touched on, not as much as the second episode though.
I do feel like Star Trek can be a very sexual show at times.
You know,
unexpectedly at times, because you're like, whoa.
Do you like girls, Mr. Riker? Yes.
Yeah. And there's that episode where Riker wants to bang that non-gendered person.
Tell me about your genitals. Yeah.
Does he actually say that?
That's what she says.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about your genitals, Commander Riker.
And that was actually a cool episode when you read about the backstory, like the behind-the-scenes yeah. shit, because... and this is nothing.
Jonathan Frakes is an awesome dude. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, and, which essentially said that, like, oh well, you know, people don't want to see like a guy making out with a guy, so we'll have this person be a non-gender character, essentially being played by a woman. And Jonathan Frakes said, well, if you wanted to have any actual like value, you should hire a male actor.
Yeah,
and he was willing to go for that.
But Jonathan Frakes is an awesome.
He's awesome, and Clockstoppers and Thunderbirds or whatever should not be his last movies. God damn it. He needs to make more movies.
Okay, so the Naked Now happens, and everyone on the ship gets infected by this sort of... And again, when you said Data has inconsistencies, this is one of the major ones, because in this episode...
They established that it's weird.
His skin, his synthetic skin...
Can get infected by...
Can absorb stuff just like it's, he says it's like the sweat glands or some shit.
Yeah, even though later episodes, they have him walking through poison and noxious gas and shit.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And so everyone becomes horny. That's that.
They become drunk. Everyone becomes drunk as fuck.
Drunk and horny.
I think mostly drunk. Certain people got horny, though.
It seems... most of them, it seems. Well,
The obvious one, Data just seems nervous. That's the thing. He doesn't seem horny at all.
It seems like it barely affected him until the certain scene.
So, there's a character called Tasha Yar.
Denise Crosby.
Who you might remember from 48 Hours or Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
And she essentially is very fucking horny. She dresses up in some weird, almost like a bad guy costume.
In a 1990s sexy outfit. Or yeah. 1980s.
She would be... If she were a Power Rangers character, she'd be a bad guy.
And she's got a spit curl for some reason.
Yeah.
That was sexy in the late 80s. I don't even want to say she seduces Data because he doesn't consent to what's about to happen to him.
Well, let's not...
Oh, no, he doesn't.
Let's not acknowledge that, though.
So basically, Tasha Yar asks Data...
Are you... How human are you, essentially?
And he says... Fully functional,
yeah,
and anatomically correct,
yeah.
So,
and she basically says perfect, and
she takes him into the bedroom, throws him on the bed,
and they
and the door closes.
Yeah,
just Data gets raped by Tasha Yar.
I don't well.
And then here's where, and it's emotional because this is where Data all of a sudden builds a strong connection to Tasha, and through the first season, she becomes almost like a. There's like a, it's, I don't want to say it's a crush he has on her.
But there's, like a, there's a connection there, and it's obvious that that moment meant something to him.
And when she dies, because she dies by an ink blob.
That's a stupid episode, by the way.
That's a total TOS episode.
Yeah.
When she dies.
Oh, and it looks like one, too.
It does.
God.
Yeah.
Those early episodes where they're on the, which I believe.
You mean it looks like a plastic desert set with like a pink background?
As Michael Dorn calls it, the cat shit planet, because cats would come in there and shit everywhere.
So when she dies, he's affected by it greatly, and he doesn't understand why. Later on, I think the seventh season or something, or it could have been earlier.
It's when he meets Tasha's sister.
No, that too. That's another thing. But there's another episode where an officer dies and everyone's like kind of just like bummed and stuff. But he's confused because, and he tells Riker, he's like, how come I don't feel as sad as when Yar died? And he explains, when you're more emotionally attached to someone, it hurts more. And like, and he doesn't
Freaking, I remember the episode where Worf is watching over the kid.
Oh, okay.
That's which is a horrible episode.
But that's a good scene.
Yes.
And Data says, I don't understand. How come we don't feel this way about like when everyone dies?
Yeah.
And he says maybe we should, and he says
yeah.
And then
Data, which it's a good acknowledgement of the whole because just because you're not a main character doesn't mean your life is. Well, that's one of the criticisms Star Trek has always had, that the red shirts or the yellow shirts in the TNG
and,
would just get killed and no one would
care. So then the response Riker has to after Data says that he just doesn't understand is he tells him, well, that's really, really human of you. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's like
anytime you have that moment with Data is always awesome. I
think. Where it seems Data's acting more human than anyone else.
Yeah.
Because that there are times when that happens where it's like, wow, it's like Data's like not cold, but like he
it's the thing I was saying, like with Generations where he's crying because he finds his cat and he says, hey, I don't know why, something must be wrong, you know, I'm very happy, but I'm crying at the same time. And
yeah.
And Troy tells him, no, you got it. You understand. And that's awesome.
So, yeah. But, same thing with his daughter.
That's just a sad fucking episode.
Yeah. I
don't even want to watch.
When she's dying. And yeah, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. Data, most emotional character in Star Trek.
It's weird. And the thing where he starts, again, a callback to the Measure of the Man, those learning robots that won't endanger themselves anymore because they become sentient.
Yeah.
And then it turns out they have to sacrifice themselves to save the ship. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. Star Trek has this weird ability to make you care for things that you normally just wouldn't care about.
Yes. So, very, very much so.
But the naked time. Or the naked now.
so that, because it's also the second episode...
It's a little weird.
Ever since the episode aired, there has been a weird fan obsession with fans.
Okay, and concerning... I also... One last thing. Sorry. When Tasha Yar died, she recorded like a video log of her talking to people. Oh, and at the end of The Naked Now, she said, Data, that shit never happened. Them having sex.
Yeah.
Because she was embarrassed by the whole...
Yes.
In deleted, like, from the script or whatever... They had Tasha Yar say, no, Data, it did happen. Because I guess she wanted to acknowledge that that was... it was either really good sex or she was really happy.
There's even that episode where he lands on that planet and, like, that girl falls in love with him. And, he kisses her and stuff. And she said, have you ever done it before? And he's like, he says once.
And then the Borg Queen also asks. So essentially the same thing.
There are a few times where people are after Data's...
Yeah, now, and we gotta...
Speaking of... because of The Naked Now, there has been a fan obsession with Data's... And this isn't a joke. There is a weird Star Trek Trekkie Trekker, whatever you want to call it, fan obsession.
I feel part of it isn't serious.
But it's weird because any community you go to, be it Reddit, there is on the Darmstrom Institute, that's like
That's the Lost...
The Daystorm one. Institute.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like the Reddit that's very serious and talks things scientific. There is a thread where they talk scientifically about Data's like the whole time.
That's weird.
And about how he would pleasure a woman.
See, you and I have jokingly discussed this
before. But there were serious, because, and I didn't even get any of those comments because they were all about like how he would do it and the different techniques and like, would you have to tell him to use certain, it got weird. It got really
so
weird.
So, you and I were posterizing that Data has a big
okay
because here's the thing, like I said earlier in the episode, Dr. Nguyen Soong created
in his own image
these robots that look like him, before Lore and Data. You would logically, if you're creating something in your own image, if someone
they would
start thinking things about you, right?
So
if you, let's just say hypothetically, I create a robot of myself and it's got a small now, what are people going to say, right? Oh, man, he must have a small dick. Now, no one wants to admit that they've got a small dick. The idea here is that Nguyen Soong gave Data a huge dick.
Okay, how this all started...
Because if people saw him, they'd be like, fuck yeah,
I was in a Star Trek thread once, and a debate raged over Data having a small one or a big one.
Okay.
Yeah, see, these are the things people argue about when it comes to Data. Typically, anytime there's a Data conversation, eventually it's going to be leading to him Tasha Yar and the size of his So there was someone made, I wish I could find it, but it was like very poetic about, and then soon, lovingly in the night, sculpted his,
Yeah.
So, he spent hours working on making the veins just right. So he gave him a fully functioning...
Yes.
Like, fully functioning.
And that's the thing. Does Data have...
okay. Like... And now you're getting to the other part of it. Yeah. So you know what? A lot of this stuff is in the comments, so you know what? Data's great. Let's move into the comments.
I love you, Data.
Oh, okay. And we could probably talk more about Brent Spiner, which we will. So these comments. So let's move to the comments. There's gonna be more weird shit to talk about.
Brace yourselves.
So first right out of the gate, he's a cool guy.
All
right,
yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Second one.
This is about as nice as it's gonna get, isn't it?
Your resistance only makes my p harder.
I've seen this before.
It's an image macro. Second best not Spock behind Odo.
Ooh.
Basically, every Star Trek series has a character like this.
Yeah, like you have the Doctor and Voyager. You have what's her name? T'Pol and Enterprise.
Yes,
I'm assuming we're going to get one in Star Trek Discovery, which is the new show. STD, as I'm going to call it.
oh my god! I didn't realize those are the initials.
I don't think they thought this through.
Oh
by the way.
No! All right, but yeah, so. I like Odo and I like Spock.
I love Odo. You know what? The Doctor's the best thing about Voyager.
And he is. He was great, but he was overused at the expense of other characters. I'm going to disagree because this person probably only saw the movies.
Yeah, and you know what? Data, I feel, beefs up any scene or like moment with another character. Like I feel like Data never brings anything down.
In the series, he had his own episodes and stuff, but he never. Normal episodes, he never overshadowed anyone.
No. I feel like he only helped, like, uplift the other character.
Yeah, I mean, so. But the movies, that's a different story. That's a completely different story.
And Insurrection just sucks. There's nothing about that movie I enjoy.
Not F. Murray Abraham with this stretchy face. Okay. This starts off weird, but it's not.
Why do you swallow as if you are nervous, Data? Do you have your emotion chip installed in this episode, or are you secretly a human actor pretending to be a robot? And to you, woman, any idea whom you are hitting on? Because Data is definitely not genetically pre-programmed to appreciate human curves. Weird enough, probably not even with a working emotion chip. So I would like for you not to use the method to seduce an android. At best, it just gives you emotional scars.
He's talking about Tasha Yar.
Yeah. This episode, really, it's the second episode. It really does have a great big bearing on Data.
You're not going to talk about how this guy's a weirdo?
Oh, no, he is a weirdo.
This guy's basically, don't hit on Data, but I'd like to hit on you. It's like, what?
That's weird.
He's fully functional and anatomically correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is. There's nothing wrong with that, though.
Spiner is a fucking fantastic actor and was outstanding in TNG. However, in real life, he's such a massive shithead that you would never believe someone like him could be a professional. Literally shows up to Trek cons for the money and then refuses to talk to anyone about Star Trek. Okay. I want to address this.
Okay. Here's the thing. When you've been going to these things as long as you have, I do need to just say, even then,
nope.
I don't care. I don't care.
I know what you're about to say, but it's not.
Go ahead. Fine.
Okay, look. Yes, it can get tiring, it can get stressful, all that stuff. Brent Spiner is known for being a dickhead, and he pretty much is only nice to female fans, and always hits on them. Like, that's his thing. He claims, well, it's just my dry humor. The accounts are him just being like a massive prick. He'll pretend he has laryngitis not to talk to you. When you say stuff, he rolls his eyes. But if you're a female, he's totally good with you. He's known for being a dick. That's his thing. Like and on Twitter, have you ever been to his Twitter?
No.
He's a troll.
Well, here's the thing. He does have that humor.
He does in interviews and stuff, but when it comes to fans, that dry humor is kind of gone, and it's just
he's a dick.
Yeah, okay. He does that sort of thing. There's recordings of him where people have their phones and he doesn't know he's being recorded, and where he's acting like that, and it's like, that's off. But if you're with a lady he'll start hitting on the lady in front of you. And yeah.
That's fine.
No, but Brent Spiner's kind of an asshole in real life.
I don't...
Great actor! No, dude, good actors can be assholes. It's a thing. It happens.
Like Tom Hanks.
So, anyway. If you were a sexy lady, then you'd be okay.
All right.
So, that's the only...
You gotta get working on that, then.
And Brent Spiner, isn't he like in his 80s now? Or 70s?
I think he's in his 60s.
Brent Spiner's old as fuck, dude. 67, he's almost 70.
I told you he's in his 60s.
Yeah, but see, almost 70. Brent fucking Spiner.
Younger than Trump.
Dickhead extraordinaire. Well, that could count for both.
So.
Okay, next question.
Comment.
Was it rape?
No. I believe Data...
No, dude, he didn't know what was going... How could he consent? It's like...
This is a reference to a thing on 4chan, by the way, that that questions whether or not Daenerys and Khal Drogo's first sexual encounter
was rape.
And it was.
And just like Data's first sexual encounter.
No.
His first sexual encounter.
No, no.
Yes, come on. It's like a frat situation is what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's statutory. Dude, he was that's not statutory, but... He was raped.
How old is Data, anyways?
Dude, he's not that old.
Wow, okay.
Data was raped. Yeah.
I can't really defend that.
Yeah, see? There you go. Okay. Data. All right. The way Data walks, like, he fucking owns the place.
He does. And you know what? I feel that's the Noonien Soong in him.
He's fucking walking like a normal type. Okay. This isn't a comment, but someone brought up something interesting today. There's an AMA with Brent Spiner. Someone mm-hmm. brought this up saying, "Did at the time, like, were you influenced by like autism or anything?" And no, it's in a good way. They're saying because my little brother's autistic and he watches TNG, he looks up to your character because he can like actually relate.
Yeah,
like it makes him comfortable and feel like he's not alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And did he roll his eyes and be an asshole about this dude?
He was nice on his AMA.
Okay.
And he says, no, and then he said, I wish I would have, like, known more about that back then, because maybe I would have played it different, but he's like, I'm really touched that can actually have a positive impact. And it's true, though.
I've read about this.
They tend to really idolize Spock and Data.
Yeah, I guess similar, like, qualities, I guess.
Yeah, and that is pretty awesome that... a character that even wasn't intended for that can like actually and
that's not the first time I've seen characters like that
happen. Yeah, when that happens it's always awesome.
Yeah,
and especially like that was just when that dude wrote that, I was like, oh, that's awesome. His little brother feels like Data's making his little brother feel good. So
it's good.
Okay, it's cool Data can survive in the cold vacuum of space. Only he can live on the moon.
Yes. Even though although in First Contact, Riker mentions various cities and lakes and memorials on the moon, so I don't know.
I forgot which major character was actually born on the moon or lived on the moon.
I don't remember.
Oh, shit. There was one. I don't remember which one, but there is one who lived on the moon.
It wasn't Riker, though, right?
No, it wasn't Riker. Okay. I do think that Data, like most TV characters, came to be more complex and interesting as the series went on. But I think you're being very generous to suggest that eventual growth was the planned trajectory. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Star Trek The Next Generation was just plain bad in the first two seasons. Back then, Data was had thin characterization. Let's have the android character who wows every episode with some amazing demonstration that reminds us that he's an android. And let's have him be the constant comic relief, playing the fish out of water character. Ugh. No. He got more interesting as a character when he went through his own human development, instead of always him being the perfect human ideal who could criticize humanity. That is true. In those first two seasons, he was always basically talking shit.
Yeah. And I gotta say, like, I feel like shows don't ever plan to say, let's start off with these really shitty characters and then make them awesome later on. I feel like it's just the natural way. It's like, okay, like, what do we gotta do here? Like, we need a story.
Yeah.
And I think it just naturally happens over time.
I think what's also interesting is...
That or you're just a shitty writer and you don't...
Data was a fucking shit talker like the first.
Oh no, seasons. he was kind of an asshole.
But it was always passive aggressive style.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not even that. I don't know. But what's interesting is Gene Roddenberry was super against the idea of like conflict between characters. All right.
Yeah.
Next comment. Brent Spiner is the real MVP.
He is, and I want to say that I think he could have had, if he wasn't so like ingrained in this role. I think he could have had a nice career doing other shit.
He has a good stage career.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine, but it's like in terms of like on screen acting, you know.
He said many times he prefers stage work.
Oh, that's fine.
Because that's where he's from. He's,
yeah.
And like.
A lot of those guys.
Yeah, and well, especially Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, he's been asked before, like, if they reboot or make a new TNG sort of thing, like movie, mm-hmm. would you be okay with them? And he said, yeah. He's like, I'm from the world of theater. It's like. Yeah. Many people have played Hamlet. He's like, why can't a bunch of people play Data? And he said he wants Tilda Swinton to play Data. I think she might be too old at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be interesting.
But she could play a bald Asian.
A lot of fan casts, by the way, I found out.
Oh, yeah?
Is Jake Gyllenhaal. I don't know why. They want Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, because of what? Driver?
He's not in Driver. Okay, so he basically encapsulates Star Trek in a single entity. He is curious about everything and everyone, especially alien cultures. Despite having spent his entire life around normal people, and despite all aliens acting like people anyway, he needs low-grade special effects to work, even though making skin-colored fake skin would be easy, though in fairness, skin that never ever needs repairing would come in limited colors, and the colored coating would necessarily be less durable and thus come off a lot. He contains amazing technology that is barely used for anything. He says he has no emotions, but obviously has them. He basically gets the viewer asking a lot of questions and accepting conflict without violating Roddenberry's in the future. There will be no
farcial.
Misunderstandings, futurism concept.
Yeah. I mean...
For the moment, I wouldn't say the emotion part, but...
I think Data
he
is...
He evokes emotion, but...
Yeah. Yes.
But he doesn't...
You can, like... Like in Mass Effect, right? Like the whole you didn't play two, but
three, yeah,
yeah but you have the Geth character who evokes a lot of emotion, even though it's a heartless robot that has no understanding of humanity at all. It's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. A lot of sci-fi shows and movies have been able to, I think, take not, and I don't mean steal, but look at Data and say like, okay, how can we kind of do our own take on this? And it turns out that a lot of these characters tend to be very well received, and I think that's the success of Data.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of shows have emotionless characters, and usually they try to make it seem like a badass thing. But with Data,
I don't like that.
Yeah, it was like I'm searching for emotion. I want to feel.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, this guy brings a lot of good points. Very obsessed with Data's skin, but
yeah, a little too much. But then again, we're talking about Data's. So it's not like we're really.
He's got skin on his. So
do you think it's the same color?
Yes, it has.
It's not a little darker. You think
it's gold? It's like gold as his eyes. Okay.
Does Data have?
Oh my fucking god!
I mean, that's a good...
No, I don't know.
Some people are clean shaven. What if Data's not?
God. Okay. Pretty sure Data was Spock 2.0. It's one of those comics.
Yeah, you know what?
He kind of was.
Yeah, but...
But they did something different. Okay. Interesting at times, but was inconsistent at the same time for the name of the plot. Sometimes he seemed perfectly fine interacting with people. Other times he was full-blown Spurge Lord who couldn't understand the concept of a joke. Whatever they needed to be able to teach him a lesson for the sake of the plot. Any Data is possessed and not Data, or... Brent Spiner convinces the writers to let Data act as someone else in the holodeck episodes are automatic skips for me. I'm fine with holodeck episodes.
I know, yeah, a lot of people don't like
Data
them.
Data getting possessed episodes, it's like, oh.
Those are kind of dumb.
It's like, stop.
Yeah, I don't like them. This guy does bring up a good point that even though we have this idea of Data being consistently written, he wasn't.
Yeah, sometimes sometimes he had no jokes.
He unlearns the shit that he's learned, like seasons ago.
It's always usually the joke. Someone makes a joke and he's like,
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Why would we be burning the midnight oil? Like, I think that was actually a thing. Yeah.
Yes. Data, it's a joke.
I know what you're... That's perfect.
Who am I doing?
That's Pulaski. Or it's a really shitty Troy. But I feel like they gave... It's weird.
Both Pulaski and Crusher said that all the time.
Yeah.
Data. Like, yeah. Okay. Apart from the lack of psychic powers, he is a superior being. He's stronger, faster, among the most resilient, and out of all smarter than any humanoid, apart perhaps from the deity-like entities that often just appear in humanoid form.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad they did away with the god energy cloud things after the first...
I mean, there was, like, episodes where they did view him as, like, a god sort of thing, but...
Yeah.
It really wasn't,
It wasn't, like, a consistent thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I mean, they could have went, like... crazy with that, but they didn't. The best they did was with Lore, where Lore basically became the god of the Borg.
That was awesome. And because you didn't know he was the big bad of that episode until the very end. Because it's two part.
Yeah, but then he fucked everything up because he's Lore.
Yeah, Lore's kind of a stupid idiot.
He's a shitty son. That's why. That's what he got dated.
Yeah.
He's a fucking failure.
He is.
All right. Greatest use of a character in development of one at least. He was fully functional because of season one shit writing. I really feel that had they not written that episode with that happening, they would have never addressed his dick ever.
Oh no.
But because that it set a precedence where he's got a we gotta write future episodes talking about it, kind of.
And that's kind of it's weird because in First Contact, it almost seems like Data, do you just really Just because it's like that's what it kind of felt like at times.
Well, because it's she's like.
Boring. I know she gives him. She literally blows him.
His skin. She blows his arm skin.
And he
gets the tingles.
Yeah, so it's like Data. It just seems like you want to have sex.
Yeah, I mean.
Although, you find out later, like no, he was
technically.
Although he did consider it.
Technically, that's so weird. Technically, she could have given him like an organic. You know, down there,
yeah.
Because when that cloud stuff happens, he's wearing pants, so it might have not.
No, I don't think so.
He could still have.
It would just be a robotic thing at the end.
Oh god! Oh my god! That means they repaired his.
Yeah.
Oh wow! All right, that's good. I guess.
I don't think she got that far. She only got the face.
I don't know. An arm, kind of.
Yes.
All right. But he has a bunch of lights under his arms, and for some reason...
Because things need to blink and boop when...
it's such old-fashioned thing. All right. Get emotions. Become more annoying than Troy's mom. To be fair, that's mostly just Brent Spiner.
I don't agree with that.
I don't like him with, like...
Oh, crazy emotions?
No. Yeah, that's what they're talking about. Yeah. Troy's... Looks on Troy's room. Was, at least. And she being good. Okay. Brent Spiner is a cunt. But he plays Data actually plays as an emotionless robot, unlike Spock in the new films, who shows more emotion in 12 frames than the average human does in a week.
Okay, so Spock, by the time he shows up in the new movies, this is the same Spock.
Yeah.
He's learned to embrace humanity. And that's why I never sort of... Why is he being like dry and having like human humor and stuff like that? Like he's learned. He's human.
Yeah, they really should. It's fucking the new movies.
Yeah,
they skipped way too far ahead with his like development.
Oh, I know. But...
It's like what the fuck, man. I hear they fixed that though.
Well,
in the new one. Yeah. Hey, Red Letter Media fucking loves the new one. And
no, I'm gonna go see it.
And by the way, those dudes, Mike. Is critical as shit about Star Trek.
Yeah.
He had, by the way, if you haven't checked, go to Red Letter Media. They have this entire, like, go to, like, their old videos way back. Yeah. There's an entire series of them, of him critiquing all the old Star Trek movies.
He did Plinkett, and I know he did First Contact.
Yeah, his first Plinkett videos were for Star Trek.
Really?
And mm-hmm. he does all the Star Trek movies.
Yeah. But no, every time they show, like, shots of, like, their video collection, I always see that big VHS collection of TNG. So I know they take this shit seriously.
He's the one who loves it.
Yeah.
Like, that's why every Half the Bag episode, there's usually Star Trek references.
Yeah.
But they loved it, so
I was going to see it regardless of whether or not it was good.
Do it, let us know.
But now that it's actually people are saying it's good, I'm gonna see
it. Yeah, it's a lot of the newer fans don't like it. Because I guess there's no world-ending apocalyptic thing.
You know, Star Trek did not always have that.
It didn't, but you know, newer fans don't know that.
Yes.
Yeah. This movie just about them crashing on a planet trying to survive.
Yeah, which is a Star Trek plot from old school. That's an old school Star Trek plot.
All right, so a really cool guy that was the initiator for most of the philosophical conversations that make Star Trek so good. A great character played perfectly. Sadly, Spiner, such a diverse, talented character actor, no doubt was quickly bored. After a certain point, Data is never really Data anyway. Always possessed, malfunctioning, or lore. Frankly, he was a complete liability by the late seasons.
This guy's talking. He's just saying that Spiner was trying to introduce like
newer
plot lines to make Data not Data.
Yeah, I get it. No, I wouldn't say
that. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so this is where we get into the final thing.
Okay.
There's two parts. There's one that, okay, so this is a conversation. So there's one conversation that's very brief, and there's one long conversation. And I save this because it's the most ridiculous thing ever.
Okay.
And this exemplifies the kind of arguments I was talking about earlier that happen around Data. Mm-hmm. So here's the first part. Why the fuck was he given a functioning
Okay.
So here's the first conversation. So he could eventually engage in human relationships and learn the human condition, including what it takes to satisfy a woman sexually.
All right.
And so that's a serious answer, and it makes sense. Yeah, you know what? That gives credence to it. That actually
It doesn't just make it a point of humor. Like,
it's not just
like, hey, Data gets the
in the sound. I give him a big
Yeah. And I like that answer that maybe there's more that Sung didn't because just think about it. Because, you know what? And we didn't address this. Sung had a wife.
He did.
That he turned
into a robot. Sex is part of the human condition. It's part of human nature.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that does make sense.
Wait, did she turn herself into a robot, or was she already a robot?
He made her a robot. He made a robot of her after she died.
Oh,
because okay. He missed her so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, to me, that makes more sense than just Data wants to f***.
It's just like...
An emotional...
I want Data to experience everything.
Yeah.
So...
There's an emotional aspect to it.
Back to the question at hand.
Okay.
Why the fuck was he given a functioning
Okay.
So here is a back and forth argument to reproduce with. I never understood why he bothered to construct LOL when, in his own admission, he was fully functional. And then the response.
I don't. Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay, response. It worked, but it didn't have semen. Oh, so it's only partially functional? Nah. Data doesn't lie. He even emphasized the word fully. His android a life-giving semen, confirmed by Data's statement. The response. The was fully functional. He never said anything about his semen. Also, in the episode where he creates his daughter, he even says that he never truly could reproduce. If he does have semen, it's synthetic.
Yeah.
The response. He's fully functional and anatomically correct. This means... His semen works, by the way. He fucking says he cannot reproduce. This is why he makes a synthetic daughter, you fucking mong. The response? The primary purpose of a penis and ball sack is reproduction. So when a Boy Scout android says that his goddamn meat and veg are fully functional, I'm pretty sure that means his semen must work. The response? That's all and well, but in the fucking show, he cannot reproduce. In the show, as well as the movies, his penis and balls are fully functional. That means working semen. The offspring doesn't make much sense considering the established fact. But many things in Star Trek don't make sense. Why did Janeway just go home after the threshold? Why didn't Data use his potent ejaculate to create a child? Why not use your transporter traces as a fountain of youth? All of these are mysteries, but it doesn't change the fact, the solid fact, that Data's semen works. The response, he's not organic. Therefore, he cannot produce organic semen. How fucking stupid are you? His c*** was fully erect. And that's it.
Oh my god.
We'll be right back. more Obscure Gentlemen fun, head over to www.theobscuregentleman.com. And if you'd like to help support this podcast and the webcomic, please visit www.patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. We thank you for listening.